This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the value method to advocate for tension resolution with a manager who dismisses the problem. Turn a dismissed complaint into a conversation your manager can't ignore. In short, when a manager dismisses workplace tension, going quiet makes it worse and escalating badly makes it personal. You need a structure that reframes the problem in terms your manager cares about, backs it with evidence, and creates space for a genuine solution. Advocating for tension resolution requires more than stating the problem. It requires aligning the problem with organizational cost. The value method gives your five-step framework to do exactly that without losing your composure or your professional standing. Listening before pressing your case is not weakness. It is the step most people skip, and the one that changes everything. Definition: the value method is a five-step communication framework for professional self-advocacy. It guides you through clarifying your value, proving your accomplishments, listening to the other party's needs, understanding their perspective, and engaging toward a shared solution. You prepared carefully. You chose your words. You sat down with your manager and explained, as calmly as you could, that the tension on the team was real, that it was affecting output, and that it needed addressing. And your manager looked at you and said something like, "Every team has friction. That's just how it works." You left that conversation feeling smaller than when you walked in. The tension did not go away. It quietly got worse. And now you're wondering whether raising it again will only make you look like someone who cannot handle normal workplace pressure. Here is what I have learned in 60 years of watching people navigate this exact situation. The problem was rarely the message. It was the structure. Or rather, the absence of one. When you raise a concern without a clear framework behind it, even a reasonable concern can land as a complaint. Managers are trained, consciously or not, to manage down complaints. The value method changes that dynamic entirely. I introduce the value method in Say It Right Every Time as a framework for career-advancing conversations. But its applications run far wider than salary discussions. Whenever you need to advocate for something a manager seems reluctant to address, particularly unresolved tension that is quietly draining a team, the value method gives you the structure to make your case in a way that compels a genuine response. What the value method actually does for tension conversations. Most people approach a dismissed tension problem the same way a second time, louder, more frustrated, with a longer list of examples. That approach almost never works. It confirms the manager's suspicion that this is a personal grievance rather than a professional concern worth acting on. The value method does something different. It repositions the conversation. Instead of asking a manager to fix a feeling, it asks them to address an organizational cost. That is a fundamentally different ask, and it lands in a fundamentally different way. The method works in five steps. Via lu, a see accomplishments, L listen, U understand, E engage. Each step builds the credibility and trust you need before the next one. Skip a step, and the structure collapses. Move through all five, and you give your manager very little room to dismiss you without looking unreasonable. As I outline in Chapter 7 of Say It Right Every Time, the best advocates do not just assert their case, they seek to understand what the other party needs before pressing their own position. That principle sits at the heart of what makes this method work in tension conversations specifically. The five steps of the value method applied to tension resolution. Step 1. Value. Frame the problem in organizational terms. The first step is not about you. It is about the organization. Before you name the tension or describe how it feels, you need to connect the unresolved friction to something your manager is already accountable for: output, retention, team performance, or client relationships. This is the step that separates a professional advocacy from a personal complaint. Your manager has been trained to manage costs. Show them the cost, how it works. Number 1. Identify one concrete, observable way the tension is affecting work missed deadlines, duplicated effort, communication breakdowns, decisions being avoided. Number 2. Connect that effect to something your manager cares about: a team target, a project delivery, a retention risk. Number 3. Open the conversation with that connection, not with a description of how you feel. In practice, instead of "the tension between Sarah and Marcus is really affecting morale," try, "I want to talk about something I think is quietly costing us on the Henderson account. There's a communication breakdown between two key team members, and decisions that should take a day are taking a week." Eamon's note: I spent years raising concerns the wrong way. I led with feeling and wondered why nobody moved. The moment I started leading with cost, conversations changed. You are not complaining. You are presenting a business problem that deserves a solution. Step 2. Accomplishments. Back your case with evidence, not emotion. Once you have framed the organizational cost, you need to prove it. This is where most people lean on frustration instead of fact. Frustration is understandable, but it gives a dismissive manager exactly the opening they need to redirect the conversation toward your attitude rather than the problem. Quantify where you can. Qualify where you cannot. How it works. Number 1. Recall 2 or 3 specific, observable incidents where the tension produced a measurable or visible consequence: a missed handoff, a client complaint, a meeting that broke down. Number 2. State them plainly, without editorializing. Name the event, the consequence, and the date or time frame. Number 3. If you cannot quantify the impact in numbers, describe the pattern with enough specificity that it is undeniable. In practice, over the last 6 weeks, the Henderson account had 3 missed handoffs between those 2 team members. The client flagged response delays twice. I've noted each one. This isn't a bad day or two. It's a pattern with a cost. Eamon's note. A manager who dismisses a vague concern will struggle to dismiss a documented pattern. You are not keeping score to punish anyone. You are building the kind of case that gives your manager something solid to act on, rather than something easy to wave away. If you struggle to have the initial conversation that surfaces these patterns in the first place, how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy offers a practical entry point. Step 3. Listen. Give your manager real space to speak before you press. This is the step most people skip entirely. You have made your case. The evidence is clear. You are ready to push for resolution. But the listen step is not a pause between your arguments. It is the most strategically important part of the entire method. Managers who dismiss tension problems usually have a reason. Sometimes it is a resource constraint they haven't disclosed. Sometimes they are managing a personnel situation above your visibility. Sometimes they genuinely believe the tension will resolve itself. You need to know which one you are dealing with before you go further. How it works. Number 1. After presenting your value and accomplishments, ask a direct, open question. What's your read on what's driving this? Number 2. Let them answer fully without interrupting. Take notes if it helps you stay present. Number 3. Listen for what they do not say as much as what they do. Constraint, avoidance, and genuine disagreement sound different if you are paying close attention. In practice, I've shared what I'm seeing. I'd really value your read on it. What's your sense of what's behind this? And what's been getting in the way of addressing it? Eamon's note. As I write and say it right every time, the best negotiators do not just talk, they listen. They do not just assert their own value. They seek to understand the value they can create for others. This is not strategy for strategy's sake. It is respect. And in a tense conversation, respect opens doors that arguments cannot. Step 4. Understand. Acknowledge their position before you restate yours. After you've listened, you must show that you genuinely heard your manager. Not that you agree, necessarily, but that you understand where they are standing. This step is what separates a conversation from a confrontation. A dismissive manager who feels heard is measurably more likely to move. A dismissive manager who feels challenged will dig in. This is not a weakness in human nature. It is just how pressure works. How it works. Number 1. Reflect back what you heard from your manager, in your own words, without sarcasm or minimizing. Number 2. Acknowledge any legitimate constraint or concern they raised. Number 3. Then, and only then, gently restate your position. Given all that, I still think this needs addressing, and here's why. In practice, I hear you. I know there's a lot on the plate right now, and I understand you may be managing things on that side that I don't have visibility into. Given all that, I still think the pattern I described is going to cost us more if we leave it another month. I'd rather raise it now than clean up something bigger later. Eamon's note. There is a script I use with people who have just had their promotion request denied and say it right every time. I appreciate that perspective. I see it a bit differently. Can I share my point of view? That same move works here. You are not retreating. You are building the ground to be heard. For those managing tension that has already fractured team dynamics more broadly, how to use a deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy covers a complementary framework worth having in your kit. Step 5. Engage. Collaborate toward a win-win resolution. The final step is where many people lose the ground they have built. They have made the case, listened, and acknowledged the other perspective. Then they deliver an ultimatum. Or they back down entirely and walk away with nothing agreed. Engage means proposing a path forward that your manager can say yes to. It means framing resolution not as something you're demanding, but as something you're building together. How it works. Number 1. Propose a specific, low-friction next step rather than a complete resolution. Can we agree to a short conversation between the three of us within the next 2 weeks? It's easier to commit to than can you fix this? Number 2. Name the outcome you're both working toward. I want this team to deliver on Henderson without this becoming a bigger issue for either of us. Number 3. Leave the door open if they need to think. Give them a clear timeline. I'd like to revisit this by end of next week. Does that work? In practice, I'm not asking you to referee every interaction. I'm asking for one focused conversation to clear the air, with your backing. If we do that, I think we close this down before it becomes a client problem. Can we set that up? Eamon's note, a no is not the end. As I write and say it right every time, a no is not the end of the conversation. It is the beginning of a negotiation. It is an opportunity to ask, what would I need to do to earn that in the next 6 months? If your manager resists even a small next step, ask them directly. What would it take for you to be comfortable addressing this? Choosing when and how to deploy this framework. The value method is most powerful in a private, planned conversation. It does not work well when you are reactive, rushed, or emotionally flooded. Think of it the way you think of preparing for a significant meeting. You do not walk in hoping it goes well. You prepare until you're confident it can. Use the value method when a manager has dismissed or minimized the tension at least once before. The tension is producing observable, documentable consequences. You have the emotional composure to stay in the conversation when it gets uncomfortable. You have a private setting and enough time to work through all 5 steps. Be cautious about using it when the tension involves a formal HR matter that is already being investigated. You are in a public setting or a group meeting where the dynamic will be distorted. You are still too close to a triggering incident to stay grounded. Staying grounded in tension is a skill in itself. How to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation is worth reading before you sit down for this one. Where people go wrong when advocating for tension resolution. 3 patterns come up again and again when this kind of conversation fails. The mistake: skipping the listen step and moving straight from accomplishments to demands. Why it happens. You have been sitting on this for weeks. You are ready. Waiting feels like giving ground. What to do instead? Treat the listen step as your most important tactical move, not a courtesy. What you learn there shapes everything that follows. The mistake: leading with emotion instead of organizational cost. Why it happens. The tension has been wearing on you, and that exhaustion comes out in the opening. What to do instead? Write your opening sentence before the meeting. Practice it. The value step must sound calm, specific, and work-focused before you walk through the door. Running a tense meeting with clear structure helps too. How to run productive meetings that don't waste time applies even to difficult one-on-ones. The mistake: accepting a vague look into it and walking away without a clear next step. Why it happens. You feel relief that the conversation went better than expected and do not want to push. What to do instead? The engage step is not complete until you have a named action and a timeline. Pin it down kindly, but firmly before you leave the room. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building the confidence to use this framework when you need it most. Reading a framework is the easy part. Using it under pressure, when your manager is dismissing you and your composure is being tested, is the hard part. That confidence comes from preparation and repetition, not from talent. Practice the 5 steps before you need them. Run through a realistic scenario out loud, in private, until the structure feels like your own language. If you have a trusted colleague, ask them to play a dismissive manager while you work through the method. Notice where you go quiet or where you drift into defensiveness. Those are the joints that need strengthening. The feedback skills you build in other conversations sharpen this one too. Why effective feedback is the backbone of workplace growth is a good reminder that clear, specific communication in any direction follows the same underlying principles. And if you want to strengthen your relationship with your manager so that these conversations happen on firmer ground, how to use the value method to ask for the feedback you actually need from your manager, and how to use the SBVI method to give feedback that actually changes behavior, are worth working through together. The full depth of how to build these conversations, including the scripts, the timing, and the mindset, is covered in Say It Right Every Time, but the framework above is complete. You can use it tomorrow. What to do when the problem is still dismissed after all five steps? Here is the truth that some managers will not move, even when you use every step with skill and composure. That is not a failure of the method. It is information. If you have worked through the value method fully, documented the conversation, and your manager still refuses to engage, you have a clear picture of what you are working with. At that point, you have three honest choices. Make a follow-up request with a specific timeline, escalate through the appropriate channel, or decide what this pattern means for your own future in that environment. None of those choices are easy, but you will make them from a position of strength, not confusion. You will know that you advocated clearly, professionally, and with genuine effort to understand the other side. The value method does not guarantee a perfect outcome. It guarantees that you gave the conversation every possible chance to succeed. In my experience, that is the most you can ask of any framework and the best foundation for whatever comes next. Frequently asked questions. What is the value method? The value method is a five-step communication framework from Chapter 7 of Say It Right Every Time. It stands for value, accomplishments, listen, understand, and engage. It helps you advocate for yourself clearly by aligning your needs with organizational priorities in a structured, collaborative way. How do you use the value method when a manager dismisses tension? Start by clarifying the unique value of resolving the tension, then back it with specific examples of impact. Listen to your manager's constraints, acknowledge their perspective before pressing yours, and then collaborate toward a solution. Each step builds trust before asking for action. Why does the value method work better than direct complaints about tension? Direct complaints often trigger defensiveness. The value method reframes tension as an organizational problem worth solving, not a personal grievance. By listening and understanding before asking, you signal respect for your manager's position, which makes them far more likely to engage genuinely. When should you use the value method for tension resolution? Use it when a manager has already dismissed or minimized a tension issue at least once. It works best in a private, planned conversation rather than a reactive moment. If the tension is actively harming team output or professional relationships, do not wait for a perfect moment. What if the manager still dismisses the problem after using the value method? A dismissal after a structured value conversation is data, not defeat. Document a conversation, the specific examples you raised, and the response. Then decide your next step of follow-up conversation with a clear timeline, escalation, to HR, or a direct question about what it would take to revisit the issue. Can the value method help with tension between team members, not just with the manager? The value method was designed for upward advocacy, specifically for addressing a manager about an unresolved problem. For peer conflict, the deal method is better suited. However, the listen and understand steps of value are universally strong tools in any tense conversation. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.